Page 14.
14?
Yeah, let's try to keep it quiet, okay? Okay, we're on page 14. No, I'm sorry. We're going to start on page 12, the last three words of the page. Just to, not to start in the middle. Okay, last time we discussed the greatness of Adam HaRishon, the brilliance of Adam HaRishon, that he was even greater than the angels. Last week we learned when Adam HaRishon was created, the angels came to God and said, who is this new creature? You know, it wasn't part of them. So Hashem said that basically, be quiet, he is smarter than you guys. So they basically, what was the challenge? Hashem brought all the animals in the world and to the angels to ask him to name them. They couldn't. Adam HaRishon, on the other hand, he brought all the animals, he named all of them. He said, this is a sus, and this is a chamor, and this is a gomel. He gave a name for all the animals. And we discussed at great length last week, with the concept of giving a name means Adam HaRishon was able to see the spiritual source of the animal coming from the soul of, from God, that the life of the animal is channeled through the letters of the name. Okay, so now it's like this. So the pasuk just finishes up. Vayikra Adam Shemes. Adam HaRishon gave names. Okay. L'chol abahem alayf ha-shamayim. To all animals and birds of the heaven. And therefore, the Medrash, the Ramban writes, interestingly, that when God brought the animals to Adam to name, he brought them in pairs, male and female. He said, you're this camels, and you're donkeys, and you're sheep, and so he brought male and female, that there should be all the same species, should have the same name, and all the animals of the field. But the pasuk says, "La'adam le'matza eze kenegdei." Adam did not find a helper corresponding, meaning corresponding to him, which means like this: the animals were definitely able to help Adam, man. They were able to help him, but not like a wife would, obviously. So Hashem realizes that, now, not that he didn't know this before, but Hashem says, okay, now that there's no spouse for Adam, we're going to get him a spouse. So what did Hashem do? Vayapal, okay, all the women, no wonder all the women came, they want to know how they were created. Vayapal Hashem alakim tardema ala Adam. Hashem brought a very deep sleep on Adam. This is the first anesthesia, by the way, in the world. Now, and it happened on the sixth day, by the way. In Hebrew, there's different terminologies for sleep. There's an expression of tardema, which is, this pasuk is a deep sleep. Shina is a little bit deeper. And tenuma is less of a sleep. So even in Hebrew you have hamava shena me'enoi usnuma me'afapoi. So you have shina, which is a deeper sleep, tenuma is a lighter sleep, but tardema is a sleep that you're completely out of it. Okay? Now we'll soon learn why Hashem did it, but let's see what Hashem did. Hashem brought this tardema, this deep sleep on Adam HaRishon, by Yishan, and he fell asleep. Why? So the Gemara says, why did God could have done surgery without the anesthesia, right? I mean, he's God, he could do what he wants. Why did Hashem put Adam HaRishon to sleep? He didn't want Adam HaRishon to see something taken from him. Part of his body was taken from him to form Chava. So Hashem didn't want Adam HaRishon to go like somebody stealing. In fact, they tell an interesting story that somebody once came to a great rabbi, and he said, what type of chutzpah is this, that God stole something from Adam without his permission? He didn't ask permission. He didn't give the consent, he didn't sign the consent slip. So he says, you know, that's interesting, because last night, the guy says to him, a thief came into my house, and he stole all the wooden utensils, and he replaced them with gold. You hear the chutzpah what he did? So the guy says, you're nuts, I should have such a thief every night. So he says, what do you think God took from him already? He took either a rib or a side, like we'll soon learn, and look what he gave him instead. A wife. Can you imagine? A wife? Hello. A wife. Okay. So he says, another thing it says, God didn't want him to see, the Barbanel says, what did Hashem, not why he put him to sleep? Because obviously when he took the rib or the side, we'll soon learn what it is, it was a lot of bleeding. And Chava would be full of blood. Basically from the surgery, so to speak. So, he didn't. He didn't want other medicine to see that, so he put him to sleep. And he took one of Tzaloisev. Now there's two opinions in the commentaries, what Hashem took from Adam. Most commentaries, the simple meaning of Tzela, but Tzaloisev is plural, is sides, not ribs.
What is that?
The side.
Side.
Took one of his sides. You know, there's a right side, left side. He took one of the sides. Other commentaries say, because even in Chumash, most of the time when it says the word Tzela, or Letzela HaMishkan, on the side of the Mishkan to the west and to the north, it's always the word Tzela, which means side. Some of Farshim, Targum Yonason, in fact, says that over here it means one of his ribs, which was the 13th rib, on the right side. That's what he took. So the Targum Yonason and Ben Ozil says it was actually a rib. But what do you mean on the side? Because the 13th rib that he took from Adam to create Chava was on the side. But he says the definition of word tzela over here means rib. Most commentaries say it actually means just the side. He took the side, what?
Does it mean like the feminine side of man?
You mean did he take the feminine or the masculine side of man?
Yes,
he took the side, whatever it was.
Okay, I'm just asking.
We'll soon discuss. Okay, we're just learning the part, then we're going to discuss it.
Okay.
We'll see why God had to do it this way. Why didn't God just create a female? Doesn't think you created a male, let him create a female. But there's a unique difference over here between the creation of male and the creation of female. Creation of male, we're going to discuss it soon, but creation of male, the God took dirt and formed it into a person. The female was not created from dirt, from earth. It was created from Adam, which is a big difference, whether like Adam was created from the earth, and Chava was created from the man, not from earth. So we'll get there in a second. Okay, so it says like this. By the way, these two opinions are actually opinion in the Medrash. Where did God create Eve, Chava from? Did he create it from the rib or from the side? What?
Is there a Medrash that they were back to back?
We discussed this last time. Yeah. One opinion says they were back to back. Siamese twins. Well, back to back. Whatever way. Back to back. And therefore, that's why what we're gonna soon discuss is, men and women are two halves of a whole. If God would have taken just earth from earth and make Chava, then it would be two separate entities. One earth created Chava, one earth created Adam. But then they wouldn't be one entity. Hashem wanted that man and woman are one entity divided in two and coming back together again. So therefore, he actually did it from Adam Edition. You know why spare ribs are very important? Because that's where Chava came from. So they're very important, very expensive. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. Just let's first see the pasuk. Okay, and then what did Hashem do? Vayizkor basar tachtano. And he filled it up because he cut off a piece of Adam, whether it was the rib or the side. So then he filled it up with flesh. You didn't leave him open, an open wound, obviously. Shem opened him up, took the rib or the side, created Chava, as the next pasuk is going to say, and then he filled it up with earth. I want to learn a few more pasuk, just at least one more pasuk, then we can understand the whole picture. V'yivin Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. So Hashem created, or fashioned, from the side, asher lokach min ha'adam l'isha, that he took from the man for a woman, Vayiviyah ala Adam, and he brought it to Adam. Now, when it says the word Vayiven, literally, binyan, bona, is building. Okay? So simply what it means is God took this part of Adam and then he formed it into a human being. Made into a complete human being called Chava, and he brought it to Adam Rishon. But the Gemara learns out from here a very interesting thing. The word Vayiven has a number of interpretations. Vayiven means to build, bona, and also comes from the word bina, understanding. When the Pasuk says about Chava, or obviously the offshoots of Chava, meaning all women, it says the word Vayiven, that bina yeseda. The Gemara says a statement. Women were created with more bina, with more understanding than men. How do we know this? Because by Chava it says, Vayiven es hatzela, he gave the bina, the understanding, to that side. Everybody knows that, except people that are totally non-religious, that girls also become bat mitzvah 13. But, and then they scream about women's lib. Men become, boys become bar mitzvah 13. Girls become bat mitzvah 12. Right? Why do girls become bat mitzvah 12 and boys at 13? So it says, because if boys become bar mitzvah 13, and I'll explain why in a second, then when the Torah says more bina, meaning more maturity, more understanding, was given to women more than men, so if a man becomes bar mitzvah 13, girls who mature earlier and give them more understanding become bat mitzvah 12. That's the whole source. This pasuk, by the way, is the source of girls becoming bat mitzvah before the boy. Boys at 13, girls at 12.
Because they are more smarter?
They are whatever you want better in everything. Because now you're happy?
Everything that you make second will be better than the first one. It makes sense, you know?
Yeah, that's what some people want to say. God created man, he learned from his mistakes, so he created woman. And she was perfect.
That's why she's connected.
Unbelievably perfect. Now are you happy?
Yes.
Good. Okay, now we can move on. Now, in this creation of man...
Man is the gas, okay, woman is the car.
The Torah actually, as we said before, the Medrash says, Adam and Chava were born two parts of them, meaning two halves of one. It was like Siamese twins. And then God did, even according to that opinion, the Medrash, that they were Siamese twins, so then God took, separated them, and shaped the woman, and the man, you know, it filled it up. In Judaism, in Kabbalistic levels, everything in godliness, from the highest levels of godliness to the lowest levels of everything in this world, everything is male and female. Male represents the giver in childbearing. The man gives the seed. The woman receives the seed and then produces the baby through pregnancy. The reason why that is like that in the physical world is because in the spiritual realms, in the spiritual worlds, everything is created male and female. Starting, it goes even higher, but starting from the name of God itself. Yud, the four letters of God's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, right? Yud and the Hey, Vav and the Hey. Now you have basically Yud and Hey. In the Hebrew language, masculine is with a Yud, and feminine is with a Hey. That's just the Hebrew language. In Hebrew, the language of Hebrew is Yud is masculine, and woman is Hey, feminine is Hey. That's why man is called Ish, Aleph, Yud, Shin. Woman is called Isha, Aleph, Shin, Hey. The man has the Yud, the woman has the Hey. Okay? Now, we know that the ultimate, I'm gonna go like this and it's all gonna come together. The ultimate family, so to speak, according to Torah, is husband, wife, son, and daughter. Right? That's the minimum. Husband, wife, son, and daughter. Why is the minimum requirement husband, wife, son, and daughter? Because in the name of God, and not only in the name of God, all the spiritual realms that trickle down into the physical world is all giver and receiver. Giver and receiver. Now, the name of God, because the Yud, we said, is masculine, that refers to the level of Chochmah. What is Chochmah? Chochmah is, you get a brainstorm, it flashes an idea in the head, you don't have any length, width, depth to it. Chochmah is Koachmah, meaning, all of a sudden you get a brainstorm, that's the level of Chochmah. When you take this brainstorm, and you elaborate on it until you understand it, then it becomes Bina. Okay? Then, when in Hebrew, Vav, what's a Vav? You have the letter Yud, and when the Yud comes down, it becomes a Vav. Correct? An extended Yud in Hebrew becomes a Vav. What is the Vav that represents the sun? S-U-N. No, I'm sorry, S-O-N. S-O-N, the sun, which is an extension of the male. And then again, therefore, in Hebrew, Vav is also masculine. Oso, Osa. Right? If it's a Vav at the end, it's masculine. Because what's the Vav? It's the masculine Yud from the intellectual level coming down into the emotional levels. That's the masculine levels.
So God is...
And hey, what's that? God is a white male Ashkenazi.
Male.
White male Ashkenazi. Just remember that. Women are great, but God is a white male Ashkenazi.
God is the wind that blew around.
Let me make the joke, the comments. So, and hey is again the feminine coming down in the form of a daughter. So the whole spiritual, which, right, by the way, encompasses the 10 attributes of God. The Chabad, Chochmah, Bina, Das, the 3 intellectual levels. The 7 emotional levels that exist. So altogether it's 10. But the 10 is really divided into 2. Masculine, feminine of wisdom, of intellect. And then the masculine and feminine of the emotions, of the Midas. So you have in the 6 meters is called Zoh, Ze'er Ampin. That's the masculine level of the emotional attributes of God. And Malchus is feminine. Because Malchus itself is feminine. That's why it's called Shechina, which is feminine. Neshama is feminine. All these things because, let me get to the point, bottom line. In godliness, everything is masculine and feminine, giver and receiver. Why is it necessary to have masculine and feminine in the godly realms, and therefore it trickles down into the physical world? Why does it have to be? Because we know, if you have a man alone and a woman alone, you don't create anything. There has to be a unity between the masculine level and the feminine level, and then you're able to produce children. So, when there's a unity between Chochmah and Bina, which in the intellectual levels is father and mother, that gives birth to the emotional levels. Intellect stimulates feelings. That's the way it is. Intellect stimulates feelings. If I meditate into how great something is, I love it. If I meditate into how powerful and fearful something is, I'm going to fear it. Because we all know, intellect stimulates feelings. So when you have a unity of male and female, then you can give birth to emotions. When you have in emotions, the unity between the masculine emotions and the feminine emotions, between Vav and Hey, so then you create levels coming below the emotional levels into thought, speech, and action. Okay? So the whole concept of male and female originates in all the way up there in godliness, even in God's name. The whole Kabbalistic solar system, or whatever you want to call that, is basically all masculine and feminine. And then when there's the unity of it, then you create greater revelations of godliness than there would be without the revelation. And therefore, as we learned in previous times, Chabad we only say it once a day, before Baruch Sha'amar. Most normal Jews say it before they do any mitzvah. It's called the Shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Shchintei. Before they put on talis, Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfar, say, L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu, this is for the unity of Hashem, Kudsha Brichu and the Shechina, and by putting on tefillin, and the talis, and whatever the mitzvah may be. In Chabad, we don't say it, and I don't want to elaborate on this now, because the way we define, according to Chassidus, the bracha of a mitzvah, it includes this, the Shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu. But when you take an English siddur, show you, for instance, something that if you read it and you don't think it, that, you know, when we say it before Baruch Shamad, we say like this, for the sake of the union of the Holy One, blessed be He, with His Shechina. The unity, basically you're saying, is the unity of God with God. And then it continues to unite the name Yud-Ke with Vav-Ke in a perfect union in the name of all Israel. What happens? When a person does a mitzvah, we said before like this, male alone, female alone cannot produce. Right? You can't produce anything. What you have, and that's it. You're not producing anything more. You can't produce any children if man's alone and woman's alone. When there's a unity between man and woman, so then you actually create offshoots. You create greater revelations, they're called kids, or spiritual kids, or emotional levels, or whatever it may be. When a person does a mitzvah, what they actually accomplish by doing a physical mitzvah, they actually accomplish a unity of the male level of God, which is called Kudsha Brichu, Baruch Hu, which is masculine level of God, which is the 6 feet of Atzilus, that's called Zohar Kabbalah terms, together with the level of Shechina, which is the feminine level of God, which is the level of Malchus. And when a person does a mitzvah, they cause a spiritual unity between the male and female aspects of godliness, which produces greater revelations of godliness than you have without that unity. I'm trying to simplify as much as possible, by the way. But you have the whole concept of creation of the world is to have giver and receiver. Everything in life is like that. Parents give, children receive. They take. That's better. They take. Bosses give, workers receive. Teachers teach, students receive. Everything in life is giver and taker. Giving and taking. Or let's use a nicer word. Giving and receiving. That's all male and female, by the way. That's the concept of male and female. Giving and receiving. So the whole creation from the highest spiritual realms of godliness all the way down to this physical world is all giving and receiving. And it's one entity. And therefore, when Hashem created Chava from Adam, He did not want a creator from earth, like He made Adam from earth, and He's going to make Chava from earth, because then there's no connection between them. There is no unity between the male and female, because they're separate entities. Only in mankind, not by animals. By animals, God created male and female separate, and everything's fine. But by humanity, which is the purpose of creation, and the purpose of perfecting God's world that He created, that we'll learn about later, so then God created male and female from the same entity. So therefore, man and woman, husband and wife, are one entity. And as the Pasuk says, in a few psukim, God says a person should leave his house, marry his wife, and they will become lebasar echad. They become one. The two become one. They were one, God split them, right? The Siamese twins, and God split them, and then He says, now go find each other. Find the half, your other half, as we say in America, your other half. Better half, other half, whatever it may be. but you have to go find it because it's really half of you. Therefore, in the Zohar, it says, it's really alluded to in Gemara also, the Zohar says that a man and a woman are two half of souls, and whenever they get together, it becomes one whole soul.
So why was so easy for Hashem to make Adam and Chava and put them together and rightly understand, and now for all of our children?
Well, who else did you want Adam to marry?
Why can't Hashem make...
That was one shidduch that there was by default.
You're not going to know what is...
What?
If God has put everyone that they had a soulmate before they came, and they're going to be finding each other, why does it make it so difficult for some people to find that soulmate? Is that they don't want anything bad, they want to find their soulmate. And this is a day and age for every young person that you speak to. One of the highest problems they are having is to find their soulmate.
No, what's the answer?
I don't know. I'm thinking you are thinking that because they are very far from spirituality.
No. No, not at all.
No? I don't know.
No?
Then I don't know. I have no idea.
First of all, okay, off the record, like they say, many of them don't know what they want.
If it was easy, you wouldn't appreciate it.
Oh, that's what I was coming to. I said, off the record is, I'm going to explain it. Off the record is, a lot of them don't know what they want. But the truth of the matter is, if it's something is easy, it's not appreciated. Something which is hard, is it easy come, easy go? Okay.
No pain, no gain.
But, the real answer to your question is, I am not God, believe it or not. I am not God, and only God can answer that question.
Hey, can I answer this question?
No. You're not God. That's for sure.
We are all God, first of all.
Okay. You need to be God to be able to answer the question why. Why it's difficult? Because things that are more appreciated in life.
Can I please say something?
No. Comes because it's harder, and then for when you get it, it's appreciated. The Gemara asks a question, a very strange question. After God created the world, what does he do a whole day?
After he created the world. Tell me, by the way.
What does God do? What does God do a whole day? And the Gemara answers, God makes matches a whole day. Not matches. Matches. You know, match.com, whatever you call it. Okay. Marriages. So somebody came to Shlomo HaMelech and said, what's so hard about that? So Shlomo HaMelech said, okay. Have a good idea. He brought in some like 200 boys, 200 girls. And he told, I think it was the Queen of Sheba, by the way, that he said, match them. So she said, big deal. You, her, he made shidduchim. In 20 minutes, she made 200. Can you imagine how much shadchanis money she got? How much money she got for making all those shidduchim? Be rich. Okay? She said, wait. The next day, come back the next day. This one had black and blue eye. This one had a broken hand. This one had a broken foot. They killed each other. It's, of course, very easy to make matches, but that's not the way God does it. Okay?
God already knows. God knows the soulmate of the
40 days. Abayim yom kayim yitzir savlad, the Gemara says. 40 days before the formation of the boy.
Yeah.
The Gemara says of the child. Tosfos says it means the boy. There's Mar Saita says it means the boy. God already proclaims who is going to marry whom. Okay? That's a whole discussion in itself. Then how can it be divorced? And how can the Gemara say that you can marry somebody and you can get engaged any time of the year? Because if you don't, maybe somebody else will grab them if it's already destined. How can somebody take it away? And there's a letter from the Rebbe with 5 answers to the question, but it's not for now. Let's stick to this Adam and Chava story. So, Adam and Chava, really, man and woman, are two halves. And God created it that way because this is the ultimate, mankind is the ultimate purpose of creation of the world. And if it's the ultimate purpose of creation of the world, it's personified primarily through man and woman. So man and woman are the givers and the receivers in this whole massive world. And that, the purpose is, then a person is able to create more children or create a level of greater godliness in the world, or no matter what it is. And therefore he created them out of one. Okay? That's so far what the pasuk is saying.
Why did we have kids and parents? Why God want us to have kids and parents?
Because Yud and Hey is the parents, and Vav Hey is the son and daughter.
So it's
godliness. The Rebbe's father's yard says tomorrow night. The day wasn't divorces like today. When the Rebbe's father had to write a get, he fasted. He was the Rav. He fasted the day he gave a get. He fasted. They took him a whole day to write a get. He fasted the day. It's brought down. The Rebbe brings it down. He fasted a whole day that he had to give a get. And he said, is it so easy to break up the name of God? Even though Torah allows it. Torah obviously allows divorces. But he said, what do you think? It's such an easy thing to break up this name of God. It's very difficult. And he fasted. It was a spiritual, I don't know if it was a disaster, but it was a spiritual difficulty because you're basically breaking up the unity that got put. And that's the problem. Okay, let's go further.
Very important.
What?
About what did you say?
Question or answer?
No problem.
No, question or answer.
It's together.
You can only ask questions.
Yeah, I know. But you say God, right? You say God, family, it's a God?
Okay. No, it's godly.
It's godly. So yeah. For me, I think so. What did I see? The kids is actually the tikkun of the parents. Whatever the parents don't know what to walk on, they pass it into the children.
No, children, Rashi says, get the blame.
Huh?
Children take over the blame. Like this, if there's no kids and something goes wrong, the husband screams at the wife screams at the husband. When you have kids, they scream at the kids together. So the kids get the blame. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. So Rashi and Chumash. But it's not. Okay. Vayema Adam, so Adam said like this. Pasuk of Gimel. So Adam Rishon says, Zay Sapam, this time, Etzem Yatzamai. In other words, after Adam Rishon started finding, he looked for a mate from everybody else, but he says he couldn't find one, right? Now that Chava was created, he said, now finally, I was able to find a bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh, meaning this time and not again. Only this time a woman was created for man. L'zei sikari isha. And therefore he says, this time, that therefore he says, Adam Rishon said, remember he gave names to everybody, right? So now when he had this wife, he didn't give her a name Chava yet, because that's an individual name. The species of women he called Isha, Kimi Ish Lukachaze, is because it was taken from men.
Why is he called the
Ish? Ish and Isha, and as the Mefarshim say, and the rabbis say it a lot of times at weddings, Ish is Aleph Yudshin, Isha is Aleph Shin Hei, right? So both have the letter Aish, which is fire. Man has a Yud, and the woman has a Hei. So when they get together, it's Aish Yudke, the fire of God. Okay? If they're not, then it becomes Aish. Then it becomes just a fire that destroys. So the whole concept is the unity of one from the next. It's a bone from a bone. And basically, the Medrash says that what Adam Rishon says, Etzem Yatzamai means, she's as precious to me as myself. It's a bone for me. It's like part of me. And therefore, this won't be called woman. Every woman, like we said, is going to be called this, because it comes in the level of Isha. Okay? Okay. Next. Al kein, therefore, Yazav Ish is Aviv Esimet. This is good for certain, I don't want to say which nationality. But the husband, the man should leave his father and mother. Okay? Meaning, goodbye, the mother doesn't control anymore. Vadavik beishtei, he should cling to his wife. Vahoyu lebasit echad, and they become one. And this, the Gemara learns out from these two words, David beishtei. The Gemara learns out a lot of laws in the laws of who you're allowed to be with, who you're not allowed to be with. Number one, it says, vidavak, you have to cling. It excludes animals. Because a man can't cling to an animal. Ishtai, his wife, meaning not somebody else's wife, which is the law of adultery. Also, what does it mean, vidavak beishtei? Other codifiers learn, vidavak beishtei means, she will cling, he will cling to his wife, meaning he is obligated to support her. Which is the halachic obligation that a husband has to support the wife. But the uniqueness of, in other words like this, man and woman are two different things together. They become one. So they're working as a team. The Gemara says an interesting statement just in physics. A person alone can only carry a third of the weight that two people can carry together. Okay? That means if you pick up something, you can pick up 25 pounds. But together with somebody else, you can pick up 75 pounds, not 50. Why? That's the fact. If it's two people picking up something that in two individuals couldn't do it. But when they do it together, there's a Gemara in Saita about the spies when they brought back those big, massive pomegranates. Okay, and the Gemara says how big and massive they were. So the Gemara says, we know, the Gemara says, that a person alone can only pick up a third of the weight that two people can carry. Not half the weight, a third of the weight. So when you have teamwork, and this is, again, the purpose of man and woman becoming one, is to accomplish more than they can as individuals. What?
It seems like a one-way street. We're saying that a man should leave his parents, I think, and his wife. Why doesn't it say the woman should leave her as well? I mean, obviously, she is going to.
That's what it is, basically. The uniqueness is that the woman has to come to the man, that's a given. But the uniqueness is that you have to leave that level of parenting and go get married. Because that's the ultimate. Now, how do you become the lebasit echad? How do you become one? So some of us say, meaning becoming one means you have one wife, you know, one husband and one wife, not, you know. But it also means, Rashi says an interesting thing, when do parents come one? Through having a child. Because the child is the combination of father and mother. Right? The father gives, the mother gives certain genes. So when do the parents really become one? When they have a child, that's the ultimate unity of the parents. That's what there said, they should become one, or they should be worthy of it, and they have to become one. They become one flesh, Rashi says, and, okay, they become united with that. Okay. That's it? Good. Everybody understands what women are all about now? Understand? No? Now you know what a woman is.
Hashem is white, Ashkenazi.
Male.
Hashem, no. Hashem,
if that's all you took away from this class, Dayenu.
Dayenu.
Okay. But you, some people in my show disagree with me, by the way. They say he's Sephardi. Yeah.
I'm not going
to say anything.
But the rabbi.
And both of them, okay, now that he created all them, he created Chav, they were both naked, obviously. They were not ashamed. Why? And this is very interesting. because he didn't eat from the tree yet that brought evil temptations into himself. Until now, we said the evil inclination of this was the snake, which was the nochash, which was outside.
So it's so hot here.
Hot? No, the air conditioning, okay. They weren't embarrassed because they didn't have any understanding of evil. It's like a baby who can walk around naked. They don't feel any embarrassment. They don't understand because they don't have the understanding, the Yetzer Hara yet, to understand the immodesty of it and what it is. Because they didn't eat from the Chatei Tzedas. And that was the way initially it was supposed to be. If he didn't eat from the tree, but we said God wanted him to eat from the tree, and he did eat from the tree, and all that, and so on and so forth. Okay, because an evil inclination did not work to know what the difference is between good and bad, and even though Adam, and this is interesting, Adam Rishon was given brilliance to name all the animals, and yet this aspect of evil, the concept of evil, he didn't have. Because he didn't have a Yetzer Hara. And because he didn't have a Yetzer Hara, he didn't have, it wasn't activated, so to speak. And everything they did was to serve Hashem, like a person eats and drinks. So they had marital things only to serving God. There was nothing, because we'll learn, there's a big argument that we'll get, when we get there, we'll learn the different opinions. When was Cain and Hevel born? Before the sin, after the sin, the same day, not the same day. There's a lot of discussion. Huh?
I was wondering, was it the 9-month period or just like right away?
They had a very busy day. Yeah. You want to hear? Listen what happened on Friday. The day man was created on Friday, right? So day and night. Day has 12 hours. First hour, Adam's dust was gathered. In the second, was kneaded into a shapeless man. In the third, his limbs were shaped. In the fourth, his soul was infused within them. This is from the Gemara Sanhedrin. In the fifth, he arose and stood on his feet. In the sixth, he named the animals. You know, hour by hour. In the seventh, Eve became his mate. In the eighth, they procreated, ascending as two, descending as, going up as two, and they ended up with four. Cain and Hevel. Okay. Okay, now what's interesting, according to some opinions, it was Cain and his twin sister that were born right away. Hevel were born after they sinned. That's what some, I told you, it's very unclear exactly, because the Torah is unclear. According to certain opinions, okay, let's get this straight. When Cain and Abel, Cain and Hevel were born, obviously, who did they marry?
Sisters.
Okay, so where did they get sisters from? So with Cain, a twin sister was born. And with Hevel, two sisters were born. So Hevel was a triplet. Cain was a twin. That's why Cain was jealous of Hevel, because he had two sisters and he had one. Even though they're the same father and mother in the whole Megillah. But still, they were able to be jealous. So in the seventh hour, Chava got married. Eighth, they had two, Cain and twin sister. Okay. In the ninth, he was commanded not to eat from the tree.
The ninth hour.
Yeah. In the tenth hour, he sinned. In the 11th hour, he was judged. And 12th hour, he was already expelled from Gan Eden. You know, it's a busy day. Imagine.
And he already has the children.
Yeah. Well, Cain, not Hevel yet. Going to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says exactly what I just read. The Midrashim have some difference of, there's a lot of difference of opinions, exactly. Because the Torah is very unclear, so it's, what happened? What? Oh, okay.
I have a question.
What? Because once, that wouldn't have happened if he didn't sin from the tree.
Okay.
secret trait that even God has in the Ten Commandments?
No.
Not to be jealous.
Not to covet, not to, doesn't have to be jealous.
No, but one of it is not to be jealous.
Okay, no.
So, why is it such a big personality defect in so many people when God...
Let me tell you something.
Put it out there in the beginning.
There's an expression, not in written Torah, in oral Torah, that Chassidus brings down, the Rebbe Rashab brings it down. Sina, machmas kina, ein lo takona. Hatred that comes from jealousy has no, you can never rectify it. The worst hatred, all other hatreds, you could rectify. For instance, if I hit you, and because of that you hate me, if I stop hitting you, you'll stop hating me. There's always cause and effect. You get angry at me, you're angry at me because I did something. So I stop doing it, you're not going to do it, you're not going to be angry anymore. Jealousy, I didn't do anything to you. If I'm jealous of you, you didn't do anything to me. Okay? So that's not a logical, caused type of hatred. It's deeply rooted within the person. Okay? The original jealousy in the world was not logical. It was Hevel's fault that two girls were born with him. I mean, was it? What did he have to do about it? He wasn't. He was born a baby. What did he know about what's going on? Right? It wasn't his fault. So why was Cain jealous of him? Why should Cain hate him to the extent of killing him? Yeah. Why? Because once Adam sinned in the by eating this fruit, whatever it was that we learned already, he brought evil to the core of every single human being. Before he sinned, good was good and bad was bad. There was Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, the tree of knowledge, good and bad. It was distinct good and distinct bad. They were not mixed. Adam Rishon, like we learned already, homogenized, he mixed good and evil to such an extent that Chazal tell us there's no good without bad and there's no bad without good.
What about Paro time?
Who?
Paro time.
Paro?
Yeah.
In Egypt?
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We're still stuck with Adam Chava.
You're stuck in the...
We got time yet. Huh? A few thousand years, yeah.
And Cain was born like the same way as Hevel?
No. He was born naturally from Chava. He wasn't created, he was born.
Cain.
Both. Yeah. Adam was not born, Chava was not born.
Okay.
Right?
So.
They didn't have parents, they didn't have a mother-in-law.
So it was the same before and after sin, like the procreation.
Right. Except, the difference was, as we just mentioned, there was no 9 months pregnancy. There was no pain. The day they were together, the kids were born. Right? And in fact it says in the era of, what came about that caused pain of pregnancy, childbearing, and all that, and raising kids for that matter? The sin, after the sin. Chava was told, Be'etzev tel dibanim, you're going to have a hard time birth pain, you're going to have a hard time pregnancy, you're going to have... Okay, before that, it didn't exist. When Mashiach comes, the Gemara has an expression, Isha telid b'chol yom. Literally means a woman's going to give birth every day, but that's not what it means. She's not going to have 365 kids a year. Okay? What the Mefarshim explain, what it means, Isha Telit B'chol Yom, means the day she conceives, she's going to give birth like it was before the sin. There'll still be the laws, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, purity and impurity, things will exist. But when Mashiach comes, a woman will be like pre-eating the tree state, So just like before Adam and Chava ate from the tree, they gave birth the same day of conception, they had the birth. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be the same. A woman will conceive and give birth that day. Painless.
Why will there still be impurity if the spirit of
God... Okay, so that's discussed or whatever it means. Okay, you go, what?
I'm not sure if I got this clearly, but Hashem named Adam.
Yeah.
Adam named Chava.
Okay. Adam named Isha. Okay? But when it says later... Yeah. Vayikra Adam Shem Ishtei Chava. Adam called his wife Chava. First he called the species of womanhood Isha. And more particular, because then she had more kids. They're the twins and the, you know, the twin of Cain, the triplets of Hevel. So then he called her name Chava. He named everybody. He named all the animals. Oh, you mean why he was named? Well, who should name him?
No,
there's
him.
Nobody else to name.
Maybe he should name himself. He knew how to name all the animals, and he knew how to name her.
No, but he can't name himself. Come on, it doesn't look right. So Hashem named him, and he named Chava. What?
If you're on your own, you don't need a name.
Yeah, but the essence of Adam was revealed through the level of Adam. Now, what were you guys hacking in China with this Lilas, Lilas, Lilas? Hello? This is where these new thing,
yeah.
Huh? That he married Lilas.
He said Lilith was made of ground, basically, dust. You just asked me to ask what have I?
There are spiritual things that happened earlier. It's not physical, and there are spiritual things, and it's a mix. I don't know. Didn't happen.
Spirituality is the neshama.
Spiritual things happen, not these physical things.
Is it in the Midrash or Kabbalah?
What? Lilith, whatever her name is. It is mentioned in more so in Kabbalah's for them. What? Nobody, you're not missing anybody.
When it talks about later about the Anaki of the giants, were these actual things or was this Midrashim?
No, Tarsus are giants, giants.
They were actually giants. Giant people that were like.
Yeah. Okay.